Well, a good Monday afternoon. It is a hot one around Saskatchewan in the high 20s this afternoon. Perfect to come in with some air conditioning at Sports on Tap in Saskatoon and watch hockey coming up. Puck drop just past 6 o'clock. Oilers and Panthers game number 3. You can join Locker and I once again, Sports on Tap, this afternoon. And if you get here quick, you might be able to meet Drew Remenda.
Now here's the long and the short of it. I hate hockey and I don't like kids.
It's time to drop the gloves.
We're losing!
We need more guys, more teams.
They're burying us alive!
But hey, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
I'm not sure that's the promotion that Sports on Tap wants tonight, but your pictures are everywhere. Besides, you know, your pictures are everywhere. So it, when you come in to Sports on Tap and at the Prairie Land here in Saskatoon, you're met with Jamie and Locker, Jamie and Locker, Jamie and Locker.
Yeah.
You'll have to introduce yourself quite a bit tonight.
Yeah.
The great Dallas Dole is next to us.
He makes the intros.
The greatest
Dallas
promos
does,
ever. So. Yeah.
Yeah. The more grief we give him, the better. But, Drew, thanks for swinging in.
My pleasure.
Did you get him a Pepsi yet?
Or
did
I'm having water.
Oh, okay.
I'm he like, was just mowing the lawn. He's got to get some water in.
How are the lines today?
Please. The best. Tops in the neighborhood.
Okay, Drew.
We might be related.
You picked me up. You saw my work.
It's embarrassing.
I don't even want to talk about it. I know. He's told me. It's just, come on.
I refuse to go into his backyard. Absolutely refuse.
No, the backyard's the best one. The front yard's worse than the back one is.
How is that possible?
Just setting the bar low.
Yeah.
I don't want to create too many expectations of those walking up to the house.
Hey, why don't you give them the address of Jamie so
yeah,
people can
let's
come
swing by. And let's not do that.
Okay,
okay, Drew.
All right.
The last time we talked was ahead of game number 2. Mm-hmm. Goes to double overtime. King of the Rats, Brad Marchand, with the game-winning goal.
Is he really now still?
Oh.
He's kind of likable.
Now that he's in Florida where they literally throw rats, he's the
shoot
king of the rats.
They shoot rats out of
this. He's the king of the rats.
Yeah.
And you see how that another second period owned by the Panthers. How have you broken down the first two getting ready for game number 3?
Well, I think Paul Maurice put it best as far as when the way that the games have been going, both teams coming back to Florida think they could be up 2-0. Both teams are creating a ton of scoring chances. Yet both teams are playing pretty strong, hard physical defense. This is about as even as a series as we've seen in years. This is a series where both teams have an identity. And you hear the word identity and culture, they're two different things. An identity is the way that a team plays that gets them the traction to get their game going. And it's your identity has to be what everybody can do on the team. The Edmonton Oilers, 4 years ago, what was their identity? Let's just go and score our problems. Well, not everybody can go score. Now they've got a game like the Panthers where it's straight ahead, right down the middle. Let's take away the middle of the ice. Let's be physical. Let's win the puck battles on the boards. Let's get to the front of the net. Let's take care of our front of the net and try to create as much offense as you can through the grind.
Yeah.
Why weren't the Toronto Maple Leafs successful? Because their identity is high skill. And in the playoffs, that's not the way the game's played anymore. So when you look at the way that that both teams are playing, how I look at these first two games, everybody was evenly matched as we've seen.
So from a coaching perspective, the teams are getting to know each other on the ice, Drew.
Yep.
And there's already a closeness in the competitive side of the games. It's only going to get worse.
Yep.
Right? It's only going to get tighter. How much of an impact, and I think we've already had this conversation about how much of an impact does coaching have, and does that actually play an even more important role with these games as we try to close up the series?
Well, how many adjustments do you think that either team can make right now? So there's sometimes you just have to get them to that spot, and sometimes you don't even have to do that. I've said this to Jamie, and Todd McClellan was the first guy that ever said it when he was with the Sharks and I was broadcasting with the Sharks, that it can't just be about the guy behind the bench. When you get a team that takes over, and talk to Paul Maurice last year at the start of the year, the Sharks were in Florida early, And he talked about the fact of the training camp coming in to the last year, how the guys took over, how it was Barkov and Tkachuk and Ekblad and Bobrovsky. And those guys took over the team. And that's when you know your team is about at that level to win, the guys have taken over, period. Nate Schmidt just told the story earlier in this playoffs. He did something in the preseason and came back to the bench, and somebody, he wouldn't say who, said, hey, we don't do that stuff here, okay? You play a certain way in our zone. You play a certain way in the neutral zone. In the offensive zone, you can get creative. But those two zones, you play to what we're supposed to do. And that's what it matters. And you look at the way the Edmonton Oilers now have been able to adjust their game. How many years, like how many times over and over and over again when the Oilers ran into some problems, what were they going to do? Fire the coach, fire the coach, fire the coach. And they did. Again and again and again. What's Nuge been through? 8 coaches?
Oh, something ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not about the coach anymore. It's not about Knobloch. It is and it isn't. You want to try to get out of their way sometimes when they're just playing a certain way. Both these teams know how they're supposed to play. Both these teams know when they're playing well. And both these teams have leaders on their team that will bring you up, will pull you into the fight. So when I look at it, I don't know how much adjustments you make. You make a little bit here and there.
Is it temperament, though? Like, how important is the coach's temperament in a situation? Like, everybody's giving Knobloch so much credit for just being that calm, cool, in such a high-pressure situation.
Depends what your team's like. Depends what you're like. You know, a coach has to be authentic more than anything.
Yeah.
Because coaches, and you look at Corey Mace. One thing we got to talk to Corey last year when he first got the job, one thing you and I both came away with was, holy mackerel. This guy's real. And he was last year, and he was at training camp when we watched him get mad at everybody. He did it again this year, as you guys talked about. I mean, that's you have to be who you are, because players will read right through you.
Well, that was like when Greg Marshall tried to be Ken Miller way back in the day, and that was not working.
Yeah.
Most fiery coach you've ever seen trying to be Grandpa Ken. That led to, what, a 1-7 start, and he was out of a job real quick.
Yeah. 10 coaches, by the way. I just did a quick Google search.
Okay.
Yeah.
10?
10 coaches.
Jeez.
So
was he with Pat, Tom, right off the pop?
Yeah, Pat, Tom, Mac T.
Akins.
Akins, Dallas. Yeah, he was with Dallas, then he was with Hitch. Oh, sorry, then he was Todd, then he was with Hitch, then he was with Tipper, then he was with Jay. And then he was with, I missed one in there. Oh, Todd Nelson. No, Todd Nelson.
McTavish jumped in.
Todd Nelson.
Yeah, Todd Nelson. Yeah.
Ralph Krueger was in there too.
That's Cruz was in there too. Yeah, might be 11.
Yeah.
Anyway, that is nuts.
That's crazy to go through, right? But again, you know, you look at the coaching ranks, and is the least secure position in professional sports in North America. 2.5 years is what they average.
That's crazy. Well, we were talking just about who's left after this year. 8-9 coaches. Now there's an opening in Dallas. Are you hearing any rumors about Pete DeBoer's replacement?
The interesting thing is that Abbotsford and Texas Stars, the AHL team of they just finished last night. Abbotsford moved on to do the finals. And by the way, their finals don't start till June 13th. But Graham, I can't remember his last name, but Graham has done a great job with the Texas Stars. He might be a guy. Jay Woodcroft has a relationship with Jim Nill because they go back to the Detroit days. There are some other coaches out there. I think they might be looking at Manny Malholtra as another one who's done a fantastic job. So there's going to be some younger guys, I think, getting an opportunity here. But we haven't heard anything from Jim. Jim's one of those old school guys, keeps it pretty close to the vest.
Well, it's interesting when you – are you surprised how much new blood has arrived in the NHL coaching cycle where this off season, rather than –
yeah.
Let's see where we're going with the recycled guys.
Yeah, but I think you have to judge it based on your team, right? You have to look at your team and go,
where they are.
Where's your team? And so you look at the Dallas Stars. The Dallas Stars, if you look at their contract situation, you look at some of the guys coming off the books, you look at the way that the age of their team, you're looking at that going, ooh, and how much cap room they've got. Mm-hmm. You're looking at that going, ooh, we got issues. You know, they do have – Jim Neal's going to have to do some massive juggling. And so – the big thing about being a coach nowadays in the National Hockey League, outstanding coach, they'll talk to you about the fact of you have to make sure that you are developing relationships. Well, it's really hard when you're only getting 2.5 years per per tenure.
Yeah.
But, and also you, the being able to develop relationships based on, you know, age is going to be one of them. New blood could be one of them. The way you talk and the way you think about the way the game is played now versus, say, the way John Tortorella does or Pete DeBoer or, you know, some of the older coaches. So
analytics, do they interview on that?
A little bit. Some like we've got in San Jose, we've got our own analytics department. Mainly it's the general manager coming in, sitting
down. Do you get along with the analytics people in San Jose?
Yeah, because I don't understand what they're talking about. So I just, like, I'll ask them, like, I'll come in per game. I'll come in once a game and I'll say to them, give me something analytical about so-and-so. And they're all such smart-ass little punks, I can't stand it. And they go, well, he's got 12 goals and 12 assists. And thanks, appreciate that. Great analytics, guys. Way to go. But they're a good group of guys. Yeah, they're young, smart, love the game. So most teams are looking at analytics, yes, but that's kept kind of within. Once the coach is hired, then you start to mesh the analytics with the coaching.
What do they do with Ben?
With
in Dallas,
great
yeah.
Question. He wants to stay. Who wouldn't want to stay? It's Dallas. Man, yeah. It's a great place to live. I think he probably takes less. Matt Duchesne's another one. Matt didn't do much in the playoffs, and I love Matt Duchesne. Yeah. But he didn't do a heck of a lot. I mean,
he was quiet, too. Yeah. Ben disappeared.
Yeah, again, when you look at that, though, it's the other team has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
You know, they looked really good until they played Edmonton.
And if you're being matched up against McDavid and Draisaitl, they might make you look
right.
You're chasing the play a lot more than anybody else.
Way more.
Which is, you know, this series, though, going back to Panthers-Oilers tonight, game number 3, I just saw Ekblad up there. Too many men in double overtime, Drew, or
he had a foot on the sip.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
When Schmidt jumped onto the ice.
Bennett? Do you guys keep complaining about Bennett kicking the stick?
He is.
Funny.
I don't care
it's
about
funny
that.
With Edmonton Oilers fans. It's funny with Edmonton Oilers fans. You go back and Ben is so dirty, Tkachuk's so dirty, Marchand's a rat. I never heard Edmonton Oilers fans once complain about Rafi Torres, Chris Pronger, Marty McSorley.
Pronger was
Corey,
so bad.
Corey Perry. Remember Corey Perry was like, I still can't stand Corey Perry, even though we had a nice moment in San Jose that last game, which I told you about, because of all the stuff he ever did to San Jose. Evander Kane. Now it's like, love these guys, man. They play hard. They're
even
playing the win.
Drysdale's pretty dirty.
Oh, Leon's. Yeah, Leon
he
is.
Yeah. He's chippy.
Yeah, he's got some edge to him. Yeah. And you have to. You have to have that edge in your game. But
we had an interesting. Somebody sent a note and wanted us to ask you a question. What happened to Ray Ferraro when he's in between and he's got to sit there and talk about that pull.
Yeah.
Like Jake Otten, when the Jake Otten.
Yeah. And he's sitting there and he's doing, Jake's sitting right there. Yeah. Do you have any awkward, you know?
Tons.
Yeah.
Yeah. The best one we had was.
Between the benches story?
Yeah, I've got a lot. The worst one was when Vitek Vanacek, who now plays for Edmonton, was sitting behind me. And puck came right by my ear. I didn't see it and hit Vitek, and I felt so bad because I should have taken that hit. Who was the guy from Carolina? Goalie Carolina won the Stanley Cup.
Cam Ward.
Okay, so Cam Ward. I'm in between the benches, Cam Ward, and we're showing because he's not playing that night. We're showing his highlights from when he won the Stanley Cup, and he's leaning over. Way leaning over, looking. Then I look at him. I went, "That's pretty good, eh?" And he goes, "That's cool." I went, "No, I got to get in the talk back." But the great thing in San Jose is that I'm like literally on the bench. Like I'm not between benches.
You're in there.
Yeah, our benches are right beside each other. So I'm literally on the bench. The best are the referees. The best to listen to the referees go at it with the players, and like it's crazy. People say, oh, you shouldn't yell at the refs. You should hear the refs. They give it right back.
Oh, are they as filthy as the players giving it back to them?
Johnny Bear, I think it was Johnny Bear. Johnny Bear, like he's looking at me. The refs are great. Okay, Johnny Bear is looking at me. This year, our bench at the start of the year is a little chirpy, right? So And things are getting a little heated. And Johnny Bear looks at me kind of funny. He's like, he's listening to our coach, and he's going, I kind of did this thing. He's like, chirpy, hey. And he skates over, and I said, you okay? And he skates over and goes, hey, I was a corrections officer for 9 years in a penitentiary. I can handle what these guys are saying. I went, I didn't really?
Yeah.
He said, brushing them off. And then you hear some guys will give it right back. Like Kyle Raymond's one of the best as far as giving it back. It's hilarious. So that's the most fun. Listen to the refs.
The chirping. Yeah.
Drew Remenda, our NHL analyst here on the Green Zone. We're live at Sports on Tap. We're getting set for game three tonight. Jamie Locker on the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Time now for the Green Zone 1 minute drill, the latest in sports. Game three tonight, Oilers Panthers in the Stanley Cup final. We'll get an update on Ryan Nugent-Hopkins closer to game time as he's banged up after game two, where Brad Marchand even the series in double overtime. In the Canadian Football League, the Riders bring in Kadeem Carey. A lot of Calgary Stampeder connections with the Riders. Kadeem Carey played for the Stamps for 3 years before winning a Grey Cup last year with the Toronto Argonauts. And the Blue Jays, back in the win column, took 2 of 3 in Minnesota. Now they are playing the St. Louis Cardinals in a three-game set. More coming up here on the Green Zone, including our top grades and our failing grades from Game 2 on Friday night. Next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie Locker with you here on a Monday, getting set for Game 3 Stanley Cup Final. We're at Sports on Tap on Lorne Avenue in Saskatoon. Swing on by. A lot of specials tonight as well as giveaways throughout the game as the Oilers take on the Panthers. Puck drop in just over an hour and a half. About 6:15, 6:20 is when they'll get things going for Game 3 in Florida. Jamie Locker, Drew Remenda wants to stick around and grade our grades.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't hate that idea.
I do. I hate this idea. It's like the principal is sitting here judging you on your grades, going, really? That's what we're doing? Oh, okay, this should be a fun exercise.
It's like a meeting with Murray.
I'm changed. No, I can't say anything. Murray's been very nice to me. He's a wonderful human being.
He has been nice to you. That's true. You have to deal with Dallas more than...
Dallas is even better. He really is.
Okay.
All right. Fire away, boys.
I don't want to do this
you
now.
You start.
I always start with
your
my failing
grade.
You're
at the top of the show.
I've always start with my failing grade. My failing grade is the missed too many men on the ice call in double overtime, because we always talk about the refs in that situation don't want to get impact the play by calling a penalty, but the refs are still influencing the game by not calling penalties in overtime. As Ekblad gets hurt, he's coming off the ice. Nate Schmidt literally jumps out in front of Arvidsson, taking away his path. Well, Ekblad hasn't even gotten to the gate yet. That's my failing grade.
Had his foot on the bench.
No, he did not have the... He did not have his foot on the bench.
So is Drew giving notes at the end of every one of our...
Apparently.
Okay, I'm...
Remind me to tell you the too many men penalty from the San Jose Sharks. I got to tell you that one.
Oh, no, not the Don Cherry one.
No.
But, Sir, come on, Drew.
Foot on the bench.
He did not have the foot on the bench. No,
I'm going to try to stay out of this because I get...
You're wearing an Oilers jersey.
I get chewed up.
You should stay out of this.
Okay, so my failing grade goes...
One sec.
Are you ready for me?
No, I'm not.
Okay, make sure you get ready. My failing grade goes to the Stanley Cup Finals television broadcast. I'll explain in a minute here.
One sec. I didn't have my audio turned on yet. There we go.
Let's go! Panthers take the draw. Let's go, Freddie.
So I went to NHL.com, and I watched the mic drop portion of it. They got like a 10-minute piece. And it's awesome. Now, listen, I realize you've got a traditional broadcast, and they do things the way they do them. But I'm wondering why they don't incorporate some of the behind-the-scenes stuff from the players being mic'd. And maybe you have a better idea, Drew. How many players are mic'd during the regular season, if any? And
oh, yeah.
They are. Okay.
Yeah, all the time. And when you walk into the room and you see on the whiteboard mic'd up, and they'll tell you who from the other team or who from your team is mic'd up so you don't say anything wrong.
Is it too hard to incorporate the playoffs, that during into the broadcast?
No, it's not. But during the playoffs, it's not a lot of guys get mic'd up. Not a lot of teams want it. But, no, it's not hard to incorporate at all. We used to do it all the time.
See, I wonder why they don't do that a bit more. I mean, with the way the broadcasting these games has changed, right? I think the audience wants a little of that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, without a doubt. Especially the way that the NFL does things. Yep. So that's a good one.
Point.
He gets an A on his failing grade.
See, this is why I knew I didn't want to do this.
What'd you get? Is C? C minus?
Well, it's actually an F, but I'm not going to say anything. We don't give Fs out nowadays.
What is it?
Needs to improve.
I can't remember.
And needs to improve.
Is it?
I don't know. That's what they used to give me.
No, it's a BE, below expectation.
Okay. Oh,
that's what it is.
Jeez, I would have had nothing but.
All right. Your top grade?
Come on.
I got
let's
like
go,
second
baby.
OT, 3-2 Edmonton. Yeah, two overtimes tonight. This is going to be a closed series. It's going to be a long series. It's going to be a closed series.
You've changed. Can't
I told my son we'd stay up till the end of the game tonight.
That's
I
on
need
you.
This one to, didn't,
good parenting.
Don't need a double overtime.
You have Locker changed. Said double overtime.
Yeah, you've changed. Like, very rarely would you give credit to the your co-host.
Oh, come on.
Wow, that's great. That's you know what? I'm proud of you, Jamie.
No, thanks, Drew. My top grade is Locker. Now, you got the score wrong. You got the team wrong.
This is Jamie. Okay, maybe he hasn't changed as much.
But you did call double overtime, so 33% hitting percentage in baseball would make you a Hall of Famer, so that's not bad. Now, combined with Shauna Foster predicting a 5-4 final
and
his double
overtime,
Now, you both picked the Oilers,
But I could tell.
The text Shauna sent me when they tied it at 4, and she thought she might get 5-4 right after getting 4-3 right. I didn't get permission to disclose what she said to me on air, but my God, did I start laughing she sent me that text.
I thought the same thing. All right,
her spirit dog was guided her to
on
a
the shoulder.
4.
My top grade.
You didn't hear the story.
We'll talk about that another day.
Back in the day, they had her old dog make predictions.
Right, I remember that.
And it was pretty accurate for a dog, and it died. So she thinks that
spirit
was passed on.
Yeah.
The spirit dog.
Happening. All right. My top grade.
Wait, I'm not ready yet.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, the Florida Panthers and Oilers stars for showing up in the series.
Sam, get it! Draisaitl. And across to McDavid. McDavid. Draisaitl scores! Ahead for Marchand. Moving in on Skinner. Marchand is... It's in! He scores!
So anybody I talk to has been talking about how great this series is, and it's some of the best hockey we've ever seen. And the thing that impresses me the most is that the stars, for the most part, on the Oilers bench and the Florida Panthers bench have been actually part of the play and are actually making a difference. So it's not only exciting hockey, we're also getting the best of McDavid, Draisaitl, Bennett, Marchand. It's been fun to watch. So my top grade, and I can't wait for tonight's game 3.
Did you hear the Maurice thing about Barkov today?
What, if they're worried about Barkov?
Yeah, the guy asked about
been a bit quiet.
Barks is no points, and he's -3 in the series so far. Are you worried about him? And Paul goes, yeah, we're trading him. It's great. It's absolutely great. Okay, here's the Sharks. Too many
what
minutes.
Did you think of his top grade?
It's, okay.
We barely talked about it. The McDavid assist and that move he made to pass it to Draisaitl. That was something ridiculous.
On the first overtime, in the first game?
Yeah. No, in game 2.
In game 2,
where we went around the stick.
But, that's that's incredible. It's Connor. I mean, you guys had Jack Michaels on the other day. Nice he didn't growl at you guys, which was good. The talking about sorry.
The pleasure was all ours.
Overtime. Before you start texting, I don't give a crap if you text or not. I'm not going to read them, but Jack's a friend. With McDavid, he mentioned the fact that, you know, he's kind of just taking stuff for granted now. You know, the greatness of Connor, you kind of just get maybe fatigue of his greatness, but he does stuff like that. But also, you look at in game one, that was no slouch of a pass either, but Corey Perry's pass to him, to Connor, then Connor Leon was phenomenal.
Well, and the Nuge button hook at the top to set it up.
Yeah. So
they're finding each other.
All right, quick. Okay.
You're too many men, San Jose Sharks. Was it from this season?
No, we're playing LA in the playoffs. Okay.
Well, that definitely wasn't this season.
No, it definitely wasn't this season. It's been quite a bit. Not quite 13 years like the Edmonton Oilers, but we'll talk about that.
Buffalo Sabres.
Oh, boy. So we're in the playoffs. This is the series we win. So Ryan Close coming back to the bench. Okay. He gets on the bench. And the puck comes loose in the neutral zone, and Jared Stoll has got a breakaway. All he's got to do is pick the puck up by our bench, and he is gone in. Okay, Ryan Clough from the bench reaches over, knocks the puck off of his stick, and no call whatsoever, nothing.
But he's just from the bench.
From the bench, he's on the bench. He reaches over with his stick, just knocks the puck away from Jared. And the play went the other way. they changed the rule after that. That you can't do that.
you think?
It was so funny.
It wasn't a rule?
I don't know if it was or not, but they certainly made a point to bring. When you look at the San Jose Sharks' history of playoffs, there was that they needed to either reinforce the rule or let everybody know. There was the Joe Pavelski five-minuter against Vegas.
Yep.
Yeah, Wheels, we still all remember that one. I do like that one, big boy. that brought the review up.
Yep.
And then against the St. Louis Blues, when they went to the Cup, Timo Meier gloving the puck forward, the missed stoppage was the other one that came in because of the Sharks. So we'd like to make a positive impact in the National League.
Well, it's just like the National Football League. If anybody wants to get rid of the tush push, just make sure it happens against the Buffalo Bills in a crucial situation, because the Bills change all the rules when things don't go their way.
Exactly.
It does happen. They do have an impact on the rules, for sure.
There's been like two major rule changes because of Josh Allen didn't get the ball, or this happens. Like, oh, we got to change the rule for Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Okay.
You're good. You don't have any time.
Yeah, we don't have any time for
Dallas
that.
Dallas is like looking over. He's got the stopwatch going for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought with extra time we get the Alice Cooper.
Did you ever hear that story?
I haven't heard story yet.
All right. Well, I'll tell it to you one of these days.
We'll get to it.
Our NHL analyst, Drew Remenda, grading our grades. Overall, what's my grade?
You get a B. I'll give you a B. Yeah.
Because below expectations.
No, that's a B, because you had to do all the work for him with the audio. So I'm going to give you a B for your extra effort. And Locker's got, he's got to go.
Do you know what would happen if I trusted him to do the audio?
It's the same as if you would have trusted me to do the audio.
Everything would have been fine.
Sure. Yeah.
Ask Dallas about me doing audio. See if that is. I press what button now? I couldn't even get the sound effects for Gormley's Smartest Radio Listener right, for crying out loud.
So we're live on location. We're at Sports on Tap. This is how I've got the board beside me. Right. I have all the buttons. I do everything. If Drew did a show, Dallas would have to be sitting here
right next to
topping
me.
Everything.
He did.
Doing everything.
In Delisle for
running the text line.
Exactly.
All that stuff.
Technologically illiterate.
That's fine, Drew.
Thank you, buddy.
That's fine. By the way, I tried to get you a job with the Saskatoon Blades. I hope Dan DeSilva joined us. They're looking for an assistant coach.
Yeah. I love Danny DeSilva, former Shark. Great.
Yeah, like
great guy.
You said, he's like, the closest I got to the NHL was a preseason game with the Sharks. He said Drew was probably broadcasting the game.
Yep.
And
I wish he would have stuck around, because I think there's a story behind that KHL thing that he couldn't tell on the air.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, he sort of said, how long have we got?
There's always a story behind KHL picks.
He played 15 games and then got a buyout and moved to Switzerland.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, see you later. All right, Drew. Take care. Enjoy game number three tonight. You're welcome to stay and watch the game with us.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm going to hang around with you guys for sure. Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm going to go, but I'll come back. I promise.
Okay.
I'll see you guys.
Yeah.
I just want to go. I got a couple things. I got to wash the car.
Yeah, okay. Too bad it takes Drew 5 hours to watch his car. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Opinion.
Locker with the Year of the Green Zone, live on Sports on Tap. That's where we're hanging out in Saskatoon for tonight's Game 3. It's the Panthers and the Oilers. We're asking you, who wins tonight? Locker, what are we seeing? What are the votes?
Game 3 tonight, who have you got, Oilers or Panthers? Panthers coming in with 100-plus votes at 28% and 72% for the Oilers. So still confidence in the Oilers. That, and it's been high every time we've done one of these posts on the Green Zone Twitter account, Green Zone SK X, if you want to be technical about it. It's been high on the Oilers.
What do you have tonight? Please don't say double overtime.
No. I think it's going to be an early overtime finish, though.
Another overtime?
Yeah.
Three straight games in overtime.
Yeah. And I'm sticking with my 3-2 prediction. I still think it's going to be a tight matchup. With the first two games, there was goals quicker in the first period than I thought there would be. I thought they would lock it down right away, right? And then there would be, you know,
well, I'm going
sort of
to
bit more back and forth.
I'm going to stay to my prediction of what I told Witt on Rock 102 earlier this
afternoon.
You had
8-1 or 8-2, didn't you?
Yeah, just like last year. The Oilers won 8-1 in game number 4. I know it's game number 3, but one of these games is going to be a blowout. I think that's the one. I think tonight's the one, the blowout, which probably means we'll go to double overtime. One more time for the Stanley Cup.
First 10
final.
Minutes of the first overtime, it's going to be over. 3-2 Oilers is what I got.
Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. Yes, game 3 tonight. You can come join us, Sports on Tap. We got giveaways throughout the game, and they got some food and beverage specials here as well. Meanwhile, the Blue Jays against the Cardinals after they took 2 of 3 against the Twins over the weekend. As they begin that 3-game set and some Rider news today before practice tomorrow, Kadeem Carey officially signed by the Rough Riders to break down the first weekend of CFL action. We'll also get Belton's prediction on the Oilers and Panthers tonight. The big man coming up next, our CFL analyst Belton Johnson on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.